of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I was about 13 years old when my dad and another dad took me and some of the other boys on the adventure of a lifetime. We went hiking in the mountains of New Mexico. For 10 days, we carried everything we needed for over 100 miles. Carried 60-plus pounds packed. It had all our food and all the trash we made. We saw rain, patches of snow on the peaks, hail, bears, and a lot more. When we were training, our guide told us something that I've never forgotten. He said to make sure we kept telling ourselves to look up. He warned us, if we weren't careful, then we'd spend 10 days in some of the most beautiful parts of God's creation and look at nothing except the back of the boots of the guy in front of us. We'd hike over streams, but wonder how we got there. We'd pass waterfalls, but maybe only hear them. We'd miss the peaks we were aiming for, and we wouldn't even see the vistas we'd accomplished on the way down. We'd miss the beautiful trees and the vegetation, and perhaps more dangerously, we'd miss the bears, the coyotes, and the rest of it. Looking up regularly, let alone most of the time, was actually much more difficult than we thought it might be. It turns out the human head, it actually just feels a little bit more secure kind of looking about 6 or 8 feet in front of us. And while someone who knows something about how bones and skeletons work would tell you this is a disaster, the natural inclination for most human beings when they're loaded down is to bend over just a little bit and spread the weight across the torso. We were so loaded down, and we did what everyone does when that happens. We just hunched over a little bit. As I've gotten older, I've noticed a tendency for myself and my friends to get increasingly loaded down. In the morning, we find ourselves following the example of most of our parents, and we pick up a few burdens as we get out of bed and get ready for the day. In our backpacks, some start by throwing in a worry about, let's say, money. Do we have enough? Is there a way we could get some more? What happens if we need a lot all of a sudden? Those of us who are married, we start to worry about our wives. A little secret, men are horrifically insecure creatures by nature. And we worry whether or not we're living up to what she expected. As we throw in the bag, we also a few more worries. We worry about her safety. Is she well? Children only compound all that I've said before. And they include a whole other set of concerns and then multiply them. The same goes for our jobs, our job performance. Are we as good as we could be? And where we worry about if our cars will run, if our houses are kept up, worry about our dreams. And all of these burdens that we put in our backpack each morning is before we even get to Jesus and spiritual and religious concerns. Some mornings, out of seemingly nowhere, we remember a little sin, a lie we've told, a mistake we've made, something way back in our past, something we took that didn't belong to us. We glance at that Bible on the nightstand, some of you know what I'm talking about, and we find that little bit of dust there on the top of it, and we wonder, why do I never make time for that? We worry about the thoughts we have in secret, the desires we don't tell anyone. Sometimes we worry about the poor, or sometimes we worry about the fact that we're not worrying about the poor. We put all that in the backpack as well. By the time we get out of the house, we've started to just look at the pavement about 6 to 8 feet in front of us. The load is quite severe. St. Augustine, writing in the 300s and 400s, commented extensively on what this weight does to a human soul. Just like what can happen to a teenager carrying half his weight on his back through the mountains, we just keep getting pushed down. Further and further and further down this weight pushes us until all we literally see is ourselves. Augustine would write in his memoir about times as a young man he became so loaded down he would focus more and more and more on himself, and then in turn his concerns and guilts and burdens, which would only increase the load and only make him turn further and further inside. You would end up completely bent over. Now, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was completely bent over and was unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and he said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." And when he laid his hands upon her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But don't forget that it wasn't just her real world burdens weighing her down. Satan was in the game, and her burdens of sin, guilt, and shame, and they were all there as well. And these petty religious leaders who made their money off making people feel sin and guilt and shame, they weren't about to let Jesus break their system. The leader of the synagogue was indignant, the text says. He was indignant because Jesus cured on the Sabbath. But Jesus was not to be denied. His reply led his opponents to being put to shame, and the entire crowd rejoicing at all the wonderful things he was doing. This woman's concerns and guilt and burdens had been struck away with a mere sentence and a light touch from the Lord. Must have been quite a scene, as true healing came from outside of this woman. The woman who is physically forced to look only at herself. Yet it was from outside of that narrow field of vision that came healing and salvation. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands upon her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. Jesus doesn't want you to carry your burdens anymore. Not for one more day or one more hour. Or one more moment. Jesus wants us to take our pack full of all our worries and our shame and our guilt and our sin. He wants us to take our pack and put it at the feet of his cross, confident that that cross is not the final word. Having dropped our load, he wants us to look upon his love that defeated death and be confident that it is more than sufficient. It has more power than it could ever need to forever dispose of what we've just left at its feet. Jesus doesn't want us carrying our baggage anymore. As we drop our load, our bodies will slowly turn to what Augustine called rectitude, that is, looking up and looking out. And first we shall see his cross, and then beyond it, not too far off, we'll see that tomb and know it to be empty. And beyond that, we'll see his eternal promise. And as we keep looking further off, you know what we won't see anymore? We won't see those bags that we left down at his feet. I want to tell you the story of Allison. To say this girl came from a broken family is like saying Michael Jordan was okay at basketball in his prime. It's a gross understatement. And as is often the pattern, Allison carried her baggage everywhere. It forced her to become completely bent over so that when she tried to figure out what would make her happy, what might help lighten her load, all she could see was herself and her own apparent desires. So she started with booze, moved to boys, ended with drugs. Allison eventually was in counseling trying to shed some of her baggage, and one day she asked her pastor to pray with her after church. He reluctantly agreed. Truth be told, it was a busy Sunday. Allison had been a troubled soul for a very long time. But recognizing that pastors ought to pray with people when they're asked, he invited her to kneel next to him in front of the altar. And there they knelt, and they prayed that Allison might put her baggage on the altar, that Jesus might reach out to her and set her free from her ailments and give her the ability to stand up straight. After the brief prayer was finished, they looked at the altar, and while no one else could see it, there was a big old satchel sitting right there at Jesus' feet. And Allison said she was never going to pick it up again. To be certain, the devil keeps chasing Allison like he pursues all human beings. He keeps trying to convince Allison, "I'm sorry, you left something back here. You need to come pick up your satchel." But she knows to pick it up would be to deny that Jesus has already triumphed over it. For she's not just looking past it through the cross into the empty tomb, but beyond. She's walking in toward God's promise for her. Jesus doesn't want you to carry your baggage anymore. Not for one more day, or one more hour, or even one more moment. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.